And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blast-off. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
All right, it's August 7th, and it is 11:07 here on the WGN Radio Theater, program 102 in this series. My name is Carl Amari. I'm your host, and to my right, the vivacious and effervescent Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl.
And Mike Estella, right in front of me, our executive producer. What's up, Mike?
How Hello.
Are you? We're going to celebrate Mike's birthday on this edition.
A little early, but...
A little early, because he's going out of town.
We will use any excuse for a party here and for a cake here at WGN Radio Theater.
When you're independently wealthy, you can go on vacation for 2 weeks at a time, every 3 weeks.
That's right, every three
weeks. And that's what Mike does. And so we're happy for him. And then there's Elif Garris, our producer in the booth. What's up, Elif?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on? We have a lot of fun classic radio shows this evening into the wee hours of the morning because we're here every Saturday and Sunday night for three full hours from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. And this evening, it's Our Miss Brooks starring Eve Arden. Then it's Inner Sanctum Mysteries, good, scary radio show starring Santos Ortega. And then we'll tune into A Tale as Told by The Whistler, starring Gerald Moore. So three great radio shows. Don't touch that dial. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
Dum, da-dum, 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 da-dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actress stars in the upcoming TV show Star, a musical drama which follows three talented singers as they navigate the music business. And if you know this actress, you will win a MyPillow.
Mm.
That is the most comfortable pillow you will ever own.
Right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress played a very friendly waitress in Miracles from Heaven.
Boston is one of the finest cities I know. I mean, you ask me, it is the finest city in the country. But I might be a little biased because I live here. I mean, I'm here, of course.
All right, so if you know who that actress is, very famous actress, 312-981-7200. Identify her, win a MyPillow. We'll find our winner after this break.
Welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop, and let's hear that movie clip one more time.
Boston is one of the finest cities I know. I mean, you ask me, it is the finest city in the country. But I might be a little biased because I live here. I mean, I'm here, of course.
Let's talk to Bob from Crystal Lake. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. We're glad you're enjoying the show, and we're hoping that you recognize that actress's voice.
Queen Latifah.
You are right, Bob. You're a winner, and you're going to win a MyPillow. We're so thrilled to give that to you. It's guaranteed the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. You can check them out at MyPillow.com. And, Bob, I have to tell you that Mike and I just bought two MyPillows for Carl for his upcoming birthday. They have a WGN promo, buy one, get one free.
Yeah.
So we, not for you, of course, you've got one free, but for everybody else, we hope that you'll check it out. And Carl will let us know what a comfortable night's sleep he'll have on his MyPillow.
Yeah, Bob, I just got mine. And you know what you have to do when you get it? You have to take it out and you have to put it in the dryer for 15 minutes. I didn't know this. Lisa told me this. So you have to put it in the dryer. That fluffs it up. And then you put it in your pillowcase.
I remember that because I don't read directions.
Yeah, me neither.
He didn't read them either. You're
Bob,
the same.
You and I are exactly alike. But enjoy the MyPillow, and thanks for calling in, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
All right, Lisa Wolf, we're going to break out the cake, right?
Yes.
We have a cake we're going to have
here.
We're going
to sing. I know Elif wanted to sing for us.
And we have, yeah. So, Elif,
Elif,
we'd like you to do
your
that,
moment.
Please.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mike. Happy birthday to you.
She's earned her check for tonight.
Very nice.
Yay. Happy birthday a little bit early, Mike.
Really,
thank
really
you
nice.
All. Thank you.
Yeah, wow. So 21, Mike, or what are you?
22.
22. Okay, not
He's
bad.
He's young. 22. He doesn't have to make up this stuff. Roger. And Roger, we've got cake for you,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we have cake, buddy. So come on down.
Got my coffee ready.
All right. It's time to start things off with Our Miss Brooks. It was a situation comedy heard on CBS Radio, began in 1948. Eve Arden starred as ninth grade English teacher Connie Brooks. She worked at Madison High School, and her boss was Principal Osgood Conklin, played by Gail Gordon. Gail Gordon was all over the place in radio and in early television, of course. He was Lucille Ball's foil for so many years. Mr. Mooney, remember?
Oh, I love Mr. Mooney.
Just a great actor, was on so many radio shows. And also Richard Crenna was on this program. You, of course, remember him later on The Real McCoys. And he was Lieutenant Troutman, which was Rambo's commander in the Rambo films. He played young Walter Denton on this series. Jeff Chandler, who was really a real tough movie actor, he played Michael Shane on radio. He played the bashful biologist and teacher Philip Boynton, that, of course, Eve Arden, as Connie Brooks, had a big crush on. So, and he also played it on television for just a little while, but then he had a surgery. He was under surgery, with kind of a routine surgery, and passed away very young age. So then they had to replaced him with Bob Rockwell on TV. But you'll hear Jeff Chandler in this broadcast. Let's go back to February 27th, 1949. This is called Stretch Has Girl Trouble. It's sponsored by Palmolive Soap, and it stars Eve Arden as Our Miss Brooks.
Palmolive Soap, your beauty hope, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. Our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, was as grateful as any other teacher for the Washington's birthday holiday observed last week.
And far be it from me to criticize the actions of the father of our country, but I can't help wishing that he had taken more than just one day to be born. Of course, the one day off was better than nothing, but I must admit I looked forward to a weekend of not teaching with considerable anticipation. It isn't that I'm not fond of my pupils. I think they're a wonderful horde of kids. But after the events of last Friday, I seriously considered giving up teaching and taking a course in rug tatting or peanut art. It started Friday after school. Mr. Boynton, the usually bashful biologist, displayed a surprisingly different attitude when I entered his laboratory. Hello, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, hello, Miss Brooks. I was just going to come down to your room.
Oh, then I'll get back there right away. I wouldn't want to miss you.
Well, I guess what I have to say can be said here, all right. Although I can't help wishing the surroundings were different.
Different?
Yes, Miss Brooks, more romantic.
Romantic?
Mm-hmm. I know I haven't been the most aggressive chap in the world, but I do think of other things besides my biological experiments. Things that are, well, more personal.
Personal?
Yes. Things that a man thinks about a woman sometimes, whether she's a fellow teacher or not.
Or not? Just move my needle a notch to the right. Mr. Boynton, what is it you're trying to tell me, I like to think?
Well, it's just that, like I said before, I wish the surroundings were different. I wish we were in a blue lagoon somewhere with a soft breeze blowing through your hair and... Oh, but we're not.
I can take care of that, Mr. Boynton.
Of course, I don't know why we have to be in a blue lagoon. I guess I just feel more confident when I'm over water.
Well, hop up on this stool and I'll fill a pan. I mean, please continue, Mr. Boynton.
Well, as you know, Miss Brooks, I've been coaching the basketball team while Mr. Haney's been ill, and, well, we've been lucky enough to win the championship in our particular conference.
Yes, I know.
We've been invited to play in the state championships at Martinsville. The entire squad leaves this evening. We won't be back until next week. I just want you to know that... Well...
Yes, Mr. Boynton?
It's terribly important that we win the championship.
Oh, you'll win it, Mr. Barton. But what else were you going to say?
Well, I'm not so sure we'll win it. After all, we're playing a round robin.
Well, I bet you could spot him four worms and beat him easily.
I know you're kidding me, Miss Brooks, but I don't mind. You know, now that I'm leaving town, I've come to realize certain things about our relationship.
At last. Formal recognition that we have a relationship.
Well, without getting too basic too quickly, I'd like to state that in the past, whenever the situation seems auspicious for declaring certain emotional reactions I've felt, upon finding myself in close proximity to you, that is, some outward manifestation seems to...
Pardon me, Mr. Boynton. Couldn't you get a little more basic more quickly?
Well, what I'm trying to say, Miss Brooks, is that there always seems to be some sort of interruption when I want to talk to you about certain things.
What kind of interruption? I see what you mean.
Come in.
Well, Boynton, as principal of Madison High, I... Oh, I thought you were alone.
We were for a minute. That is, I was just saying goodbye to Mr. Boynton, Mr. Conklin.
I see, Miss Brooks. And have you finished saying goodbye?
No, Mr. Conklin, we haven't.
This boy's been taking brave shots.
What I mean to say, sir, is that we can finish talking after you've spoken to me.
Very well. I simply dropped in to wish you good luck with the team, Mr. Boynton. Remember, by winning the championship cup, you not only honor yourself and the athletes involved, but you bring further glory to the already hallowed name of Madison High. Glory and prestige. Fame and all...
How much have you bet on the game, Mr. Conklin?
Just a fin. I was... No! You know I never bet. It's just that we must get that cup.
Well, don't worry, Mr. Conklin. We've got the high-scoring forward of the conference on our team, you know.
I see. And how's this boy's condition? Tip-top, I trust?
Well, he's 6'5" tall, so his top would be hard to tip. That's a joke, sir.
Thank you. By the way, Miss Brooks, is this the boy we transferred from Miss Enright's English class to yours?
Yes, sir.
Well, tell me, how's his state of mind?
What there is of it is quite happy.
Well, I know he's not a brilliant student, but now that he's in your class, Miss Brooks, I'm sure he'll improve. From what I hear, the boy's an all-round athlete. I want him eligible for other sports during the coming term.
Well, I'll do whatever I can, Mr. Conklin. Of course, it's difficult to give a test without any questions in it, but... we'll get him through all right, Mr. Conklin.
Good, good. Well, I'll be running along now. Best of luck, Boynton. Bring back that cup.
Let's see now. Where were we? Oh, I know. You were telling me something personal.
Well, I wouldn't like to repeat myself, Miss Brooks. Do you remember what it was I said last...
Oh, how could I possibly remember what you said minutes ago? It was just something about you'd like to state that in the past, whenever the situation seemed auspicious for declaring certain emotional reactions you felt upon finding yourself in close proximity to me, that is, some outward manifestation seems...
That's right. And then you said, couldn't we get a little more basic more quickly?
Right. Then you said there always seems to be some sort of interruption when you want to talk to me about certain things.
And then you said, what kind of interruption?
And then I wrote... Whoever it is, get lost.
Come in.
Hiya, Coach. Oh, hello, Miss Brooks.
Hello, Walter. How are you?
Fine and dandy.
Good. Bye-bye, Walter.
I just wanted to remind Mr. Boynton about the big doings tonight. There's going to be a torchlight parade and a snake dance. You'll be there, won't you, Miss Brooks?
Yes, Walter, if I can find a snake in time.
Yeah. Oh, before I go, Miss Brooks, have you seen Stretch around anywhere?
No, not for the past few hours.
Well, if he shows up, please send him into the gym, will you? I want to give him exact directions so he won't get lost on his way to the bus station.
Knowing Stretch, he can get lost after he's got the directions. We'll send him in to you if he shows up here. Thank you, and good day, Walter Denton.
Thank you, Miss Brooks. And may I suggest that you speed Mr. Boynton on his way with a salutation befitting the mentor of a sterling aggregation such as the Madison basketball team?
Walter.
So long, Coach.
I hope you're not embarrassed by Walter's inference, Miss Brooks.
If you think that would embarrass me, you need a coach, Coach. Now, let's take off for that blue lagoon, huh?
I'm afraid I don't comprehend, Miss Brooks.
My hair is blowing in the breeze again.
See?
What is it you were trying to tell me before Walter came in?
Well, it's just that with my leaving tonight, we won't be seeing each other at all over the weekend.
I know, Mr. Boynton.
Come in. Oh, it's Stretch. How are you, son?
Hi, Mr. Boynton. Hello, Miss Brooks.
Hi.
Well, how do you feel about our impending junket?
Huh?
Mr. Boynton wants to know how you feel about the trip you're taking this evening.
Oh, well, I ain't going.
Stretch, don't say ain't.
Don't say you ain't going. What's the trouble, Stretch? You're not ill, are you?
There's nothing wrong with me physically. My trouble is mostly mental.
Well, don't be self-conscious.
No, wait, what is it, Stretch? Maybe I can help you.
I'm afraid you can't, Mr. Boynton. You see, it's about a girl.
A girl?
You've seen them. They play on girls' softball teams. Is there anything I can do to help, Stretch?
Yes, Miss Brooks, but I'd rather talk to you alone, if it's all right with Mr. Boynton.
Why, certainly, Stretch. I've got to get down to the gym for a few minutes anyway. Miss Brooks, you will try to straighten him out, won't you? You know how important he is to the team.
I'll do what I can, Mr. Boynton.
Good. We'll see you at the snake dance tonight.
Now then, Stretch, tell teacher all about it.
Well, I know I ain't good in English, Miss Brooks.
You're not good in English.
I know. But ever since the first test you give me, I knew that I was going to improve and get the kind of marks in English that I've always stroven for.
Stroven for?
Oh, I know I got a lot to learn yet, but since I met you, I feel that you're more than just a teacher, that you understand kids, and that's why I come to you now. I ain't much at speeches, so I'll just say it right out, Miss Brooks. I'm in love.
In love? With what? A who?
My best friend's girl, Walter Denton.
People don't talk like this in any language. Stretch, are you trying to tell me that you've got a crush on Harriet Conklin?
Exactly. When she's in the stands rooting for the team, I play great. When she isn't, like she's not going to be where we're going to play over the weekend, I don't. So I ain't going, Miss Brooks.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Stretch. Have you told Harriet how you feel about her?
Oh, no. Nor Walter either. I wouldn't want to hurt neither of their feelings. It's just that I can't play without Harriet in the stands.
Look, Stretch, I heard that they're going to show the games on television right here in Madison. That means that Harriet will be in the stands. She'll be right on the sidelines watching your every move.
Honest, Miss Brooks?
May I swallow a board eraser? Now, will you attend the ceremonies tonight and then leave with the rest of the team for Martinsville?
Well, if you say Harriet will be there on the sidelines, I guess I'll go along.
Good. I knew you wouldn't disappoint Mr. Boynton and me.
He was kind of counting on me, I guess. Funny thing about him, though, for a smart scientist, he's not very smart about getting someplace sometime.
Why, Stretch, what do you mean?
Like with you, I mean. Here you are, a smart, pretty, brainy English teacher with no other attachments, and he don't do nothing about it.
Stretch.
Yes, Miss Brooks?
You ain't just flapping your lips, Doc.
Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, will continue in just a moment.
All right. I won't even have to say that. Eve Arden will continue in just a moment.
Yeah, he did an excellent job.
I don't have to say it because Vern Smith just said it there. He's the announcer on this episode. From February 27th, 1949, Our Miss Brooks, one of the funniest radio shows. And then it moved to television, became very popular on TV for many, many years. There was even a couple of films, and Eve Arden really just became synonymous with this character. Although, Lisa, she was not the first person they approached to play Connie Brooks when CBS developed the series. They first asked Lucille Ball. But she was busy.
She was busy.
And then they actually recorded a pilot episode with Shirley Booth. Now, you know who Shirley Booth is,
Hazel.
Right? Right, Hazel. And they were like, So then Eve Arden, they said, well, how about Eve Arden? And, well, I mean, I can't imagine anyone else
other
than you.
Well, sure.
Yeah. You could have played this character.
Yeah.
So...
We had a texter that said that she loves her deadpan delivery. Yeah. I feel the same way.
She really just embodied this character and just made it her own. And I cannot imagine anyone else playing the role of Connie Brooks. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, Roger, you said you had a question for me,
yeah,
sir?
Yeah.
Yes.
So didn't Richard Crenna also appear in Henry Aldrich?
No.
All right. I'm getting the voices mixed up. I always thought he had a
voice that would have worked perfectly in the Henry Aldrich. He could have been Homer Brown or he could have been Henry Aldrich, but he was not.
Okay.
He was not.
I don't know why, but just always stuck in my head.
Richard Crenna was, you know, remember the movie Body Heat? Do you remember that movie with William Hurt?
He was a detective?
Kathleen Turner, no.
No.
Remember Body Heat with William Hurt, Kathleen Turner? So Kathleen Turner was married to an older man, and that older man was Richard Crenna.
Oh.
And she wanted him offed, you know, because he was wealthy, and she fell in love with William Hurt. And remember, they plot to kill him.
Yeah, I think I remember that one. That's
great movie.
There was another one where he played a
There are a lot of movies with that exact storyline.
Well, no, but there was another one where he played a detective, but he wasn't like a... He was a bad detective.
Oh, was he?
Like he was the one, I'm maybe thinking of a TV show.
Yeah.
But
I had the great fortune of interviewing him and talking about his radio days and his film career, and we have that. I know we have a tape of it, right, Mike?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
excellent.
So we'll play a little of it. Maybe do like a tribute to him one of these days because he was on so many different radio shows.
Yeah.
He appeared on Suspense a few times, and, of course, he was a regular on Our Miss Brooks and other radio shows. And then, you know, he was on Real McCoys for years.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, the Real McCoys.
Great
Walter
show.
Brennan.
Yep.
Remember?
Yeah. I'm coming, Luke.
That was a great series. Okay, well, I think, is that it?
Well,
that was
you
your
for
question?
That little
Carpenter's my question.
Interlude.
Sure.
How was the cake? How was Roger's, Mike's cake, Roger?
I'm sorry, I need more coffee. Wash it down.
Yeah, it was good. That was good cake.
Actually, I don't eat strawberries.
Uh-huh.
And there was strawberry on the top of that.
Yeah.
And it was pretty good.
Yeah, that was a cake from Mariano's. Yeah. Good cake. Very good cake.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, it's back to
Is your birthday tomorrow?
No, it's actually next weekend, but I'm going on vacation. So.
Again.
But you're going to leave the cake behind, aren't you?
We're still munching.
There's a little bit here, and actually I'm done. So whoever wants the rest of it, please have it.
Yeah, there's some left. So if anybody wants any. All right, let's get back to this. Let's go back to Madison High School, where Stretch has a crush. Here's Eve Arden on Our Miss Brooks.
Well, the pre-victory celebration was a huge success. A one-hour snake dance and the six-mile torch parade came off promptly at 8 o'clock, and my feet came off promptly at 9. After seeing the basketball squad off for the bus depot, I immediately limped home for a nice, warm bath. Mrs. Davis, my landlady, was sitting in the living room when I opened the door.
Good evening, Connie. How was the snake dance?
Very snaky, thanks.
Did you bid Mr. Boynton a fond goodbye, Connie?
Yes, Mrs. Davis.
What did he say?
Goodbye.
Oh, that man. When is he going to open his eyes and see that?
I think they're opening a little bit, Mrs. Davis. This afternoon in the laboratory, he really started to make a noise like an interested party.
Oh, what happened?
Nothing. I got all involved with the trials and tribulations of a star basketball player and his unrequited romance. But the weekend is upon us, and I won't have to play Dorothy Dix for a few days anyway.
What are you going to do tonight, Connie?
I have some very elaborate plans, Mrs. Davis. Tonight I'm going to have myself a schoolteacher's B&B.
Benedictine of brandy?
No, bath and bed. If you'll excuse me now, I'll drag my carcass into the bathroom and run a tub.
Oh, you don't have to do that, Connie. I've already let the water in. I was going to bathe Minerva tonight.
The cat? But cats aren't supposed to get baths, are they?
Oh, Minerva loves it. Besides, I've just got to bathe her.
Why, are the mice complaining?
No, she was walking near the sink this morning and slipped on the tile, poor dear. Fell right into some dough I was mixing for bread.
Oh. Then maybe Minerva better use the water that's in the tub.
She can wait. You run along, Connie, and take a nice restful...
Now, who in the world can that be? Coming! Stretch, what are you doing here? Why aren't you at the bus depot?
I ain't going.
Again? Well, come in for a minute?
Thanks, Miss Brooks.
This is Mrs. Davis. You remember Stretch?
Of course. He's the famous quarterback on our hockey team, isn't he?
No, lately he's been playing goalie for our tennis team.
Could I talk to you alone, Miss Brooks?
Naturally. Mrs. Davis, would you mind making a little tea?
Not at all, Connie. I'd like some myself. How about you, Stretch? Nice glass of milk?
No, thanks, Mrs. Davis.
Well, I'll bring some anyway. Nothing like milk for a growing boy.
I guess you're pretty disappointed in me, Miss Brooks, but I... Say, what's that?
What's what?
Right behind Mrs. Davis. There's a cake walking into the kitchen.
Oh, relax, Stretch. I see it, too. That's just our cat, Minerva. She fell into some dough. Now tell me why you're not with the team.
It's Harriet, Miss Brooks. Even though she'll be seeing me play on television, I won't be able to see her.
I was afraid you'd figure that out. Look, Stretch, I'll get you a nice picture of Harriet and send it airmail. You'll have it by game time tomorrow night. How's that?
Gee, I don't know, Miss Brooks. I would like to have a picture of Harriet, but I wouldn't want anybody to know that I... Walter's my best friend.
I know, Stretch. You wouldn't want to hurt Walter or Harriet or either of their feelings. Believe me, I'll get the picture without anyone knowing for whom it's intended.
Gosh, I hate to be such a problem to you, but... Well, I never mixed much with other kids outside of in athletics, I mean... And I think my name has something to do with it.
Your name?
You see, my real name is Fabian Snodgrass. I guess when I was little and kids kidded me about it, I got sensitive.
I see. Stretch, do you have any brothers or sisters?
Sure. Two sisters and one brother.
And do they have peculiar names, too?
Oh, no. They all got perfectly normal names. It's like the other day when I was talking to my sister. Rapunzel, I said...
Rapunzel. Well, that does it. I'll go into your case more thoroughly when you get back from this trip, Stretch, but right now you've got to rejoin the team. Come along.
You won't forget to send a picture, Miss Brooks.
I won't forget, Stretch. Lots of luck and goodbye again. Rapunzel Snodgrass. Now, there's a family for you. Oh, well, now for that bath. I better see if the water's still warm. Oh, it's pretty cold. I'd better let it out and run a fresh one.
Come and get your tea, Connie.
I'll be right there, Mrs. Davis. I'm afraid Minerva's water got a little cool. I'm running another tub for myself.
Very well, dear. Where did Stretch go?
Back to the bus depot. Wait till I close this door. The poor kid, he's hopelessly in love.
Yes, I overheard. But he shouldn't worry so much about the other boy in the case. Why, when my sister Angela was a girl, she never went out with one boy at a time.
She didn't?
No, she played the field, Angela did. Why, I remember one time she went out with twins for over a year before she found out they were triplets.
Poor Angela. The eternal quadrangle. I'd better take a look at that bath. There. Nice and hot. Now to get these clothes off and... Oh, no, not another interruption.
Hi, Miss Brooks. It's me. Can I come in for a minute?
Yes, Walter, but that's about all. I'm trying to take a bath.
Well, that'll have to wait, Miss Brooks.
Well, it's getting plenty of practice. What's the matter, Walter?
It's Stretch. He disappeared from the station, and when last seen, he was heading in this direction.
He did come here, Walter, but I sent him back down to the depot.
Well, that seems like a pretty silly maneuver. Well, what did he come here about?
He wanted some advice. He's in love, Walter.
In love? In love with who?
Whom?
Who's she?
He's in love with somebody that doesn't love him, a girl who goes with another fellow.
Now, what kind of a girl would go with a fellow when she could go with a star basketball player like Stretch?
I can't divulge the details, Walter, but Stretch was miserable about the situation.
But he's not supposed to be miserable. This is a crucial time. If he likes a girl, she should go with him and brush off this other jerk.
Careful, Walter. You may hate yourself for this. Look, I've smoothed his feathers and sent him back to play the game of his life. Now you get back to the depot and don't say a word about what I've told you.
Well, all right, Miss Brooks. But I wish I could get a peek at the guy that's got Stretch's girl buffaloed.
You may never see him till you start shaving. Goodbye to you again, Walter Denton. Well, let's see how this water feels now. It could be warmer. I'll let a little out and refill it. Singing in the bathtub, la-da-da-da-da, singing in the bathtub. Now we'll just put the plug back in, run some more water. I always thought that teaching was my only profession, but bathing can be quite a career, too. There, that ought to be just right. Singing in the bathtub, nothing can go wrong. Singing in the bathtub, oh, I should live so long. Come in, whoever you are. Oh, it's Mr. Boynton.
Oh, I'm sorry to bother you, Miss Brooks, but Walter Denton's disappeared from the bus depot. Have you seen him?
Of course I've seen him. Won't you come inside, Mr. Boynton?
I haven't time, Miss Brooks. You say you saw Walter. Where is he now?
On the way back to the bus depot.
Oh, good. Stretch got down there before I left, and when he found Walter gone, he was quite upset. Now everything will be all right. Sorry to have troubled you, Miss Brooks. See you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye, you greyhound Lochaber. Well, at least there's nothing to stop me from taking that bath now. I couldn't have gotten cool in that short space of time. Let's see. No, it's exactly the right temperature. I don't have to let out a drop. Wrong again. Oh, no, it's not you again, Stretch.
I'm a monster.
What do you want from me, an affidavit? What's wrong this time?
When Walter came back to the depot, I took one look at him, and then I knew.
Knew what?
I couldn't go to Martinville without his girl, Harriet. I just can't play unless she's really in the stands.
All right, Stretch, I'll do my best. Go back down to the depot and wait for me.
What are you going to do, Miss Brooks?
I'm going to slip on a straitjacket and run over to the Conklins. I wouldn't have disturbed you this late, Mr. Conklin, but it's absolutely essential if you want Madison to win that championship.
What's essential, Miss Brooks?
That you let Harriet here go to Martinsville with the team.
Me? Go with the team tonight? But of course it's Walter. He needs me.
Stop squealing, girl.
But don't you see, Daddy? Walter's the manager of the team, and he needs me by his side. I hardly dared to hope for it, but now I know. Walter's my life, my future, my all.
Walter isn't the one who requested that you come along, Harriet. It was Stretch.
Stretch? But he's the best athlete at Madison. I'll rush to his side at once.
What about Walter?
Who needs Walter? When does the bus leave, Miss Brooks?
Not so fast, young lady. What's this all about, Miss Brooks?
Well, it's Stretch, Mr. Conklin. He's got a crush on Harriet. And if she'll just be in the stands and root for him, he says Madison is bound to win. There's really no harm in it.
No harm in it? But Martinville is 400 miles away. The basketball team is composed entirely of boys. Boys and Mr. Boynton. Who'd chaperone my daughter?
Who else but Miss Brooks? Come on, Miss Brooks, pack a bag and we'll have to...
Oh, just a minute, Harriet. I can't go to Martin.
Oh, of course you can. It's your idea, isn't it? Now go on home and get... Wait a minute. With Mr. Boynton coaching the team, you'll need a chaperone yourself.
Then why don't you come along, Daddy?
What? Me? The principal of the school leave Madison for a weekend? To watch our basketball team play a round robin with the best teams in the state? Tell your mother we're leaving at once.
Oh, just one thing, Mr. Conklin.
Yes?
Do you think they have a bathtub in Martinsville? Well, I never thought when I woke up this morning that I'd be riding on the bus with you and the team tonight, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, I'm glad it worked out this way, Miss Brooks.
I am too.
Me too.
driver, I'm Mr. Conklin, the principal of Madison High.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Conklin? My name's Fredericks. What can I do for you?
Well, I'd like to open a few of these windows, if nobody minds. It's kind of stuffy in here.
Yeah, it is kind of crowded in the bus. You see, we didn't expect all you extra passengers. In fact, there was one kid back at the depot I couldn't even allow on.
Which kid was that, Mr. Fredericks?
Oh, some tall fella. Said his name was Snodgrass. Stretch Snodgrass.
Well, just as long as he wasn't an important member of the team.
Stretch, not burn!
And now, once again, here is our Miss Brooks.
Well, Mr. Conklin was furious, and the only way I could square myself with him was to give up my seat to Stretch when the bus returned to pick him up. Then I went home, got undressed, and steered my stubborn little course for the bathroom. Now I can really... Oh, hello, Mrs. Davis.
Hello, Connie. I was going to postpone Minerva's bath till tomorrow, but she just couldn't wait any longer.
Oh? When did you put her into the tub, Mrs. Davis?
Just this minute, Connie.
Well, I can't wait any longer either. Move over, Minerva.
Next week, tune into another Our Miss Brooks show brought to you by Palmolive Soap, your beauty hope, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, written and directed by Al Lewis, with music by Wilbur Hatch. Mr. Boynton is played by Jeff Chandler, Mr. Conklin by Gail Gordon. Others in tonight's cast were Jane Morgan, Dick Crenna, Gloria McMillan, Frank Nelson, and Leonard Smith. For mystery liberally sprinkled with laughs, listen to Mr. and Mrs. North, the exciting, fun-packed adventures of an amateur detective and his beautiful wife. Tune in Tuesday evenings over most of these same stations. And be with us again next week at this same time for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. Bob Lamond speaking. Have you ever stopped to realize how much freedom the American way of life offers you? Remember, in many countries, people have lost the freedom to work where they choose, start their own business, own their own home, invest their money as they see fit. Let's keep that free American way. Let's make it better by working a little harder on our jobs and by being better citizens of our country. Let's remember that the better we produce, the better we live. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The better we produce, the better we live. Did you hear him say
yes,
that, Lisa?
Yes, work hard, Carla. What
produce
you do.
More, would you, Lisa?
I'll keep it. I'll keep that in mind.
You've already produced four kids. What else can you be producing?
I can produce a very good time here at WGN.
Yes,
Radio. You
produced a great cake from Mariano's.
Yes,
thank
I
you
did.
For that.
I didn't
terrific
cook it.
Job.
I just produced it.
Well, you produced it. Well, I didn't expect you to cook it. That's
you
for
didn't?
Sure. No, I expected you to
off.
Bake it. Maybe,
yeah, we're better off this
but
way.
But buying it from Mariano is a lot better. That was Our Miss Brooks, February 27th, 1949. Stretch has a crush. Stretch was played by Leonard Smith on that show, but you heard some terrific talent in that program. Jeff Chandler, Jane Morgan, who played her landlady, and yet Richard Crenna, Gloria McMillan. Just a terrific cast on this episode of Our Miss Brooks. Hope you enjoyed Eve Arden in her signature role. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. You know, we have a website for this radio show. It's WGNRadioTheater.com. It's a pretty cool website. There's all kinds of stuff there, and including our schedule. We have a schedule that goes many, many weeks in advance, so you always know what we're going to air here on the WGN Radio Theater on Saturday and Sunday nights. Lisa makes me come here on Saturday and Sunday.
I know. I force you.
She calls
me. You don't want to be here, but I do my best.
Calls me around 9 p.m. at night and says,
Are you on your way?
Are you ready? You getting ready here or what? And I go, what?
What?
She's like, it's Saturday or it's Sunday. Come on.
You're usually in the bathtub taking a bubble bath.
Sometimes. Yeah, because I do that a lot. Sometimes I'll be driving to the station, and I call Lisa, you know, just to make sure she's really, you know, on her way here. Because, you know, she has a lot.
What would happen if I didn't
show up? She has a lot on her plate. It'd be more of me talking.
It would be a lot of Carl.
So I'll call her, and then I'll say, yeah, what's going on? She's like, yeah, with him, blah, 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 whatever. And I'm like, you know, what are you doing? She's like, oh, I'm at the movie theater, or I'm here, you know, just trying to be funny. Like, she's not really coming here. And that wouldn't be nice, Lisa.
No, have I ever done that to you, ever?
Yeah, when you go to Florida.
Once a year, I think. I take a once a year day. Mike does it every other week. So.
Well, Mike's rich.
Mike's rich.
I'm celebrating.
He's celebrating.
That's right.
Well, you know, we always have something to celebrate, don't we?
He's newly married. Let him have some fun.
Look, it's my birthday, my wife's birthday. It's our engagement anniversary. It's our wedding anniversary, all within a matter of 2 days.
It's been a year. Lisa.
I'm sure I could come up with some reason to celebrate this weekend too.
It has been a year since we were at your wedding.
Yeah,
gosh, that's
pretty close.
Crazy.
Pretty close.
Wow. All right. Well, that's crazy.
We still like each other?
Yeah. Yep.
Made
that's
it a whole
a good
year,
thing.
And we've survived.
It's a good thing.
It was a year ago that I met you then.
Give it time.
Is that when you met us a year ago when he got married?
Right after they got married.
Wow. Yeah, Roger said, give it time.
Roger.
Yeah, right.
Cynical Roger.
It's only been a year. He's still in the honeymoon phase.
That's true.
He'll wake up.
Roger, I'm going to have a talk with your wife. I'll turn on the radio.
Trust me, she's heard it before.
So we have still two more classic radio shows for you all the way to 2 o'clock in the morning here on the WGN Radio Theater. One of my favorite mystery shows of all time, Inner Sanctum Mysteries. It was a well-produced program broadcast out of New York City. Hyman Brown created this show, and he had always great actors on it, terrific writing. And I love the fact that they had like a creaking door opening, yeah. You know, and then Raymond, the host, would say, good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
It's great they had that trademark. Every time I hear a creaking door, that's what I think of.
It's a very, very interesting show.
Like Ringo Starr doing that. You had a little British... Do that again. Do it again.
Hey, Paul. What's up, Paul?
Yeah. Okay, well, anywho.
it wasn't Ringo Starr as the host of Inner Sanctum.
No, it wasn't.
But all of a sudden, he had a British accent.
For a while, it was Raymond Edward Johnson and then Barry Kroger. We have a Barry Kroger episode from 1945. And then a little later, it's a mystery on the Whistler. And the great thing about the Whistler, and you probably know this, Roger, because you're a fan of these classic shows, the Whistler always had a twist ending.
Yeah.
Surprise. You would be listening to it, right? You'd be listening, thinking, okay, this guy is the murderer, or this girl, or this or that. And then whammo.
That's right.
Twist.
Out of nowhere.
Ending that you were not expecting. And I think that was the whole key to the Whistler, which made it stand out from the other mystery shows. We have one of those for you as well.
Remember,
tonight.
About a year or so ago, I performed in an episode with my group, Old Time Radio Group, and I actually did the whistle.
Oh, you were the guy that did.
I had a role in it, but I also did the whistle. I had to do it about 10 times.
That's a lot of pressure, seriously.
Right?
Yeah.
Look at him. Hey, where were you? Hit the high one.
I kind of petered out at the end there.
Petered out
a little. Let's take a quick break, then we'll be back here on the WGN Radio Theater. Familiar theme. 12:06. Ooh, that's loud. On a Sunday morning. Wait, Monday morning.
It gets louder as the night goes on.
Sunday morning now. Yeah.
It's Monday.
We're here, it's so weird because we get here on
Saturday.
Literally, no, but we actually get here
Saturday, and we leave on Monday.
We actually get here
Saturday.
Hang on, yeah.
Oh my
gosh,
what it is? We get here Saturday at 10, and we leave Monday at two in the morning.
It's a lot of days.
It's a lot of days.
It's a lot.
And all we do is beg for more days.
We broadcast 6 hours on the air, but we're here 3 days.
Yes, exactly. It's true.
Yeah, we're here Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and we're only on the air 6 hours.
Yes.
Wow. That's some kind of a world record. We should be calling.
We need a raise.
Let's call Guinness or Ripley's Believe It or Not or one of those. Figure this out. Because it doesn't really make sense. We're on the air 6 hours, yet we're here 3 days.
We are on the air Saturday. We are on the air Sunday. We are on the air Monday.
I'm telling you. That doesn't compute, you know? It doesn't really compute to me.
I can see that.
A lot of things don't compute to me.
I can see that. I'm looking at your face looking a little confused.
Yeah.
But that's not unusual for you.
Like the fact that you have two master's degrees.
That doesn't add up for you?
Doesn't add up to me, no.
Look what I bring to the table here.
I am very jealous of the You have two master's degrees, and I have none.
I worked really hard for
those. Nah, I'm very proud of you, Lisa. I think you should at least borrow me one. Can you photocopy yours, and I can put some white out and then put my name and hang them in my office?
You know, I've done that before, that
have
kind
you?
Of thing.
Really?
I really have.
So the ones you have are not
no,
real?
No, not with those, but with other documents.
Really?
Yeah.
You have?
I have.
Like what? Like your marriage license?
No. I'll give you a very basic one. My son, when he wanted to go to school, his birthday was September 11th, and he had to be born by September 1st, for example, to
you
start that year.
You whited one of the ones out?
I sure did.
Wow.
His birthday was September 1st.
Scofflaw.
Yeah.
What a scofflaw.
Right? It's 10 days, and he's going to miss a whole year of school, and he was
you
so
know,
mature and ready for school.
Elif,
and they said no.
She seems
I
so
tried.
Innocent, doesn't
no,
she?
But I called, and I did it the rational way, and I said, he's ready, and this and that. And they said, we can't. So I said, no problem, and then I made it happen.
What school is this?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me?
It's always the nice ones that, you know, are the most devious.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
She is a scofflaw, that Lisa Wolf.
Yep, I'm trouble.
For sure. All right, so in this hour, we're going to tune into a terrific mystery on Inner Sanctum from 1945. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
This actress stars in the upcoming TV show The Exorcist, a TV reboot and modern take of the classic film. And if you know this actress, you will win a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza.
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. If you know what actress is starring in the television reboot of The Exorcist. And here's a hint. Her character was married to Alec Baldwin's character in Beetlejuice.
No, we just want to get some people out of our house.
All right, if you know who that actress is, call us, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
We are back. This is the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip again.
No, we just want to get some people out of our house.
I thought Aleph was yelling at me. No. Jose from Elgin, how are you?
Hello, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm great. We're glad to talk to you, and we're hoping that you know that celebrity.
Yes, ma'am. Gina Davis.
You are right, sir. You are a winner, and you have won a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best. My favorite. I hope you're a big pizza fan. You can visit one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations and check out the menu online at loumalnatis.com. Jose, thank you so much for calling in and for listening.
No, thank you. Listen, hello, Carl.
Hey, Jose.
I really like your show. I really love the detective stories. And maybe in the future, can you put on some Texas Ranger stories?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Tales of the Texas Rangers with Joel McRae. You got it, buddy.
Dedicated to you, Jose. Thank you.
Okay, God bless both of you.
God bless you, buddy. Thank you for listening. All right,
thank
so
you.
Jose is a winner. He won a Lou Malnati's pizza, and it's real easy to call in and win. The number to call, 312-981-7200. That's also our text line if there's shows that you want to hear. Or you can go to our Facebook page, and Mike, tell us how to do that.
Just hop onto Facebook and look up WGN Radio Theater.
All right, that's all you have to do. There's a Twitter, and there's a Instagram, and there's a Fluey Hooey, and there's a what else is there?
I think that's about it.
The Fluey Hooey and the text line.
I invented the Fluey Hooey.
Guys,
you know
be nice on the text line. Yeah. Be nice.
Every once in a while, we get somebody kind of crabby.
Every
on
now
there.
And again, we got a little crabby guy.
A
be
crabby.
Nice to
yeah.
me.
Sometimes they're crabby. They kind of vent their crabbiness on the text line sometimes, Lisa.
And I, you know, I take it very personally.
Lisa does. She's very sensitive.
I'm very
she has sensitive skin, too. She can't go in the sun. Look how sensitive
it's
her.
It's true. I'm
very
so,
sensitive.
Yeah, pale. That's
yeah.
true.
Don't hurt Lisa's feelings. Okay. It's time for Inner Sanctum Mysteries. And this was a series started in 1941, created by Hyman Brown. Hyman Brown, who I had dinner with one time. It was one of the coolest dinners I ever had with anybody. Real quick story, Lisa. When I was growing up and listening to these classic radio shows, there was a show on the air called the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. I'm sure a lot of our listeners remember that show. That was also created by Hyman Brown. And I was this young kid listening to these shows, loving classic radio, wanting to be an actor and a producer. And I used to write Hyman Brown letters. And he used to write me back. And I'm not talking about, like, short letters. This guy would write long handwritten letters back to me.
Do you still have them?
No. I wish I did. And so years later, when I got into licensing these shows and I was an adult, I still haven't really
reached
adult.
Well, I'm not sure you've gotten there, but okay.
I'm still about to hit puberty. But at the time, when I was licensing these shows, I contacted him. I said, I don't know if you remember me, but I, you know, he kind of didn't remember me, but he did meet with me and we had a dinner and he licensed me the Inner Sanctum shows. And we had dinner together. And I remember we were sitting in this New York restaurant next to Peter O'Toole, which was kind of, and they knew each other, so they were talking. But just to talk to him about creating Inner Sanctum and all of the shows that he was the producer of The Thin Man, and then all about the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. And he used to do 5-hour-long shows a week of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater, which is crazy when you think about it. And he was it was like a factory. He was just knocking them out, 5 of these hour-long shows every week. I think they did 1,700 hours or something like that of the Mystery Theater. But what an interesting guy to sit and have dinner with.
Get a different perspective on the whole thing.
The guy who created the show. And he had all the best actors. This was produced out of New York. And he had all these wonderful actors that would come through New York that would do Broadway, like when Peter Lorre was on Broadway or Boris Karloff. He would get them on the show.
Right, they were there.
Yeah, and then he would have his rotating cast of New York pros like Mason Adams and Mercedes McCambridge and Santos Ortega. And for a while, it was sponsored by Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup. And they had they brought this girl on. Her name was Mary, and she was like the Lipton Tea girl, and she sort of offset the creepiness, you know, right? Yeah. There was the host who was kind of scary, and he would kind of make these puns and things, and there was, of course, the creaking door, the Inner Sanctum door. You'll hear it now on this episode, going back to May 22nd, 1945. It's called Dead to Rights. You'll hear Barry Kroger as our host, and the star of the show is Santos Ortega. Here's part one of Inner Sanctum Mysteries.
Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup present Inner Sanctum Mysteries. Good evening, friends. This is your host of the Inner Sanctum, welcoming you again through the squeaking door for an hallucinating good time. Why am I smiling? But I always smile when I open the squeaking door on Tuesday nights. You see, each week when I say good evening, I think to myself, a good evening for what? And of course, there's only one answer to that question. A good evening for murder.
A fine thing to say. You wouldn't feel so chipper about it if you were going to be murdered.
Why, Mary, there's no bigger thrill than to be murdered. Why, it happens only once in a lifetime. And now it's time to begin. Our story is called Dead to Rights. It's an original Spine Tingler by Sigmund Miller. And our stars tonight are two radio favorites, Elspeth Eric and Santos Ortega. So relapse in your chair. Settle down for a half hour of alarming but charming entertainment. Why not get really reckless tonight? Go the whole works. Turn off the main switch in the cellar. The darker it is, the more strange things you'll see. Lou Dunn is nervously pacing his room in a dingy boarding house near the East River in Manhattan. His wife, Dottie, is looking at an old newspaper.
That's him, Dottie. You can see for yourself. That's Jensen, that queer old guy. He lives upstairs with $20,000.
Mm-hmm. That's him, all right.
All that money. Only a floor above us.
According to this paper, William Jensen was found wandering through the streets in a semi-conscious condition due to lack of food. The police discovered $20,000 in $100 bills mixed with crusts of bread in his pockets. He's being sent to Bellevue Hospital for observation.
That newspaper's more than a month old. Jensen's been back for 2 weeks. Hey, Dottie.
Hmm?
Must be some way we can get that money.
There is.
You mean rob him?
Rob him? Maybe kill him?
Kill him?
If you're not scared.
Scared? Well, I ain't scared of anything.
I know you. You always talk tough, and that's about all.
I'm not scared. We could knock him off. Make it look like suicide.
You really want to do it?
Yeah, sure. I'd like to put my hands in that 20 grand.
Boy, what we couldn't do with that money.
It'll be easy.
If we do it smart. Very smart.
Sure, sure.
Maybe you could sort of visit him. Just before he goes to bed. Turn on the gas. That'd make it look like suicide. And then we could go back and pick up the money. Not all of it. We'll leave half of it so it won't look like robbery.
Sure. He's a crazy guy. It's natural for a crazy guy to knock himself off.
Mm-hmm.
When do we do it?
Well, if we're going to do it, we got to do it right now. We'll never have the guts to do it later. Now, you're sure you want to do it, Lou?
Sure. Sure I do, Dottie.
Mrs. Scully was going to the movies. What time is it now?
It's 5 to 10.
She won't be back till after 11.
That only gives us about an hour.
Oh, you got plenty of time. Jensen goes to bed just about this time. You go on up, stay with him until he's in bed. And then on your way out, you turn on the gas. Not too much, because that'll make a lot of noise. And keep your finger off the spigot. Use a stick or a glove or something.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, okay. What are you waiting for?
You want me to go now?
Well, what do you want to do? Die of heart failure worrying about it? Go ahead.
Who's there?
It's me. Lou Dunn, the guy that lives right under you.
Just a minute. I was just about to get to my bed. Is there anything special you want?
No. I just had a little argument with the wife. I don't want to go back right now.
You're going to teach her a lesson.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Come in. You can talk to me while I get into bed.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Jensen. I won't stay long. Are you going to bed right now?
Yeah. Would you mind helping me take off my shoes?
Sure.
I'm getting too old to bend down.
Sure. Sure thing.
Thank you. Oh.
That's no place to hide your money behind the pillow.
That ain't no money. It's just a lot of pictures. It's all just pictures.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. I ain't gonna be good company. I feel kind of sleepy.
Well, maybe I gotta get back.
It's nice of you to come see me, though.
It's freezing outside. I'd better close the windows or you'll catch cold. Well, good night, Mr. Jensen. Good night. It's beating like a trip. If I get downstairs without being seen, everything will be all right. Hey, someone's coming up the steps. It's Mrs. Scully, the landlady. It's dark. Maybe you won't recognize me. I pulled my hat over my face.
Mr. Dunn?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were Mr. Dunn.
It's all right. Good night.
Good night.
Who is it?
It's me. Lou.
Everything all right?
Close the door.
What's the matter with you? Anything go wrong?
We're going to be caught.
Calm down. Tell me what happened.
I did everything you said. Everything went fine until I got outside. I met Mrs. Scully in the hall. I pulled my hat over my face.
She recognized you?
She called my name, but I disguised my voice.
Nothing to worry about.
I'm sure she knew it was me. We're going to get caught.
Did you come right down here?
No. I went outside for a few minutes in case she was watching me.
That's good. Now you got to go back and get that money. He's dead by now.
I can't go back.
You've got to go now before the gas leaks into the hall and everybody knows about it.
I can't. I can't do it.
All right, I'll go myself. Where'd you say the money was?
The pillow under his head.
Stay here till I get back.
Maybe we ought to forget.
No. Not after we've gone this far.
Who's there?
It's me, Mrs. Scully. Let me in.
What do you want?
Well, the people downstairs have been complaining. There's water leaking down the ceiling.
Water?
Yes. I'd like to take a look at the sink.
Sure.
Funny. Pipes aren't leaking.
Guess it's just a mistake, huh?
Oh, they must be cranks. Floor's dry.
Is that all, Mrs. Scully?
No. You're a couple of days over on your rent.
We'll have it for you tomorrow.
Well, you better. I have to pay my bills, you know.
Sure. I promise you.
Well, all right. Say, didn't I pass you upstairs on the fourth floor a little while ago?
Me?
Oh.
You must have me mixed up with someone else.
It looked like you. Had you billed?
I haven't been out of this room for a couple of hours.
Okay, Lou, I can't...
Dolly, Miss Scully.
Oh. Hello, Mrs. Scully.
Hello, Mrs. Dunn. I was just telling your husband about the rent that's... Do you smell gas?
Yeah. Must be a gas jet open someplace.
Well, you'd better take a look at your stove. Don't want any accidents in this house.
No, neither do we.
Seems to be coming from the hall. I'd better take a look at that empty room.
You should have knocked before you came in. You almost gave the whole thing away.
Yeah, I know. I had the money right in my hand. I only took half the dough, about $9,000, I figure.
The cops questioned Mrs. Scully. We'll be done for.
Yeah, she smelled the gas on me. I almost died in that room.
We gotta get away from here.
Yeah, maybe you're right. I'm getting kind of scared myself. Things ain't working out so perfect.
Let's get packed.
Okay, we better hurry. No, wait a minute. We ain't gonna pack.
We're not gonna stay here.
Listen, if we walk out with our suitcases, we'll be giving ourselves away. We just...
They found out about Jensen.
We gotta stay calm or we're dead pigeons.
What should we do?
We gotta get out of this house first.
We can't go out the front door, not now.
Maybe with all this excitement going on, we can sneak out without them noting.
I tell you, I'm scared, Daddy.
Oh, my. Come on. It's now or never.
There's nobody at the front door.
Well, that's a break.
The cops, they just came in.
Quick, get back in the room before they see us.
We'll never escape.
I'll escape. There must be some other way.
I love Inner Sanctum Mysteries. I could listen to Inner Sanctum Mysteries every single night because I'm imagining a New York studio at CBS, you know, on 42nd Street probably, and there was no studio audience. They were just in a room, and they had an organist there.
Yes, I heard that.
And Hyman Brown was behind the booth, and there was the actors with the old microphones. Yeah. And they were coming in, and they knew what they were doing because he only used the best New York actors. And then they put on this terrific show every, I think it was like on Tuesday nights, Inner Sanctum Mysteries. And you're listening to a terrific episode called Dead to Rights, starring Santos Ortega along with Elspeth Eric. is her name. And then Barry Kroger is the host. And Barry Kroger, I only think, did a couple of episodes as the host because Raymond Edward Johnson was the original host. And then Paul McGrath took over, and their voices were very, very similar. This guy, in between the two, Barry Kroger, did not sound like either one of those guys. So it's a little jarring for me to hear Barry Kroger as the host. We have a picture up of Barry Kroger, so check it out on the Facebook page. That's what you are, Lisa. You're a pretty woman.
I'm different than the pretty woman of Julia Roberts, though.
You know, one Halloween, I went as Roy Orbison.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How did that go for you?
It was cool.
Yeah?
You know? Yeah.
Did people know who you
were? Yeah. I dressed as Roy Orbison, you know, the white T-shirt and the black outfit, you know, and the glasses.
What year are we talking?
1934.
Oh, 35. Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
well, that would make sense.
I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, something like that.
Okay.
Halloween's one of my favorite holidays. I like Christmas. It's my favorite. But then I would say Halloween because the great radio horror shows. We can play all the horror
shows.
Yeah,
this radio show does fit very well with Halloween. And
yeah.
I'm sure we will play some Halloween-themed shows as
it
gets closer to Halloween. You know what my favorite holiday is?
What?
My birthday.
That's not a holiday.
I think it
FYI.
I think it is.
It's not a holiday.
It is.
But we will be playing some scary radio shows for Halloween, and then we'll be playing some Christmas shows for Christmas.
Yeah.
That's fun
yeah.
to do that, right?
There's always a holiday around the corner.
Yeah, definitely.
That we can focus on.
And then, let's see, we have Valentine's Day after that. Well, we have
St. Patrick's Day.
We have Valentine's Day, then Easter. We play Easter shows.
Yes.
Valentine's Day, we'll play some
romantic. My
birthday's
next. I mean, after yours.
We'll play some romantic. Well, yours is in October. Your birthday's in October.
It certainly is.
What do you think? 13th?
No, sorry.
Man. 17th?
I'm sorry. I'll remind you. Don't worry.
Yeah.
It's the 18th, isn't it?
No.
Oh, boy.
Ella, if you can check Wikipedia.
12th? Is it the 12th?
Just kidding.
Oh, boy.
It's not. I'm so sorry.
But it's in October.
It is. Yeah. So you've got about 20-some more days to keep trying.
Okay.
Okay.
What are we doing here? It's 12:35 on a Monday morning. We're tuning into Inner Sanctum Mysteries. I love this series. I could, as I say, listen to these all the time. I have a bunch of these. Probably have maybe 100 episodes of Inner Sanctum, maybe more, maybe a couple hundred. And we're going to tune in now to the conclusion to Dead to Rights on Inner Sanctum Mysteries.
Well, Dottie and Lou are in bad shape. My only hope is that they don't die of heart failure before the end of the program. That would be very embarrassing. Sometimes I wish the characters in our stories would show a little more nerve. They all get so flustered. It's not that they aren't first-quality villains, but they're too indecisive. Now let's go back to our pale and panicky pair of murderers. If you remember, they ran back into their room when the police came in. And since then, they've been trying to figure a way out. Maybe they've got a plan. So let's take a look, shall we?
We've got to think of something.
How about that back stairway?
I don't know where it goes.
Well, it's better than staying here.
Cops will see us.
We've got to take that chance. They're probably still upstairs. Come on.
Let's hurry.
Walk slow, will you?
I got to open the door to get to the back stairway.
We'll open it slow.
All the doors locked.
Easy, you fool. Maybe it's just rust.
It's jammed.
Let's both of us try to open it.
So we use the cops. They'll be down in a minute.
Come on. Let's push it.
It won't give. It won't.
It's opening. Just a little bit more.
We can just step through.
You all right?
Uh-huh. It's like it's cold in here.
Stairway goes down to the cellar, I guess. Come on. Dust down here is choking me.
There must be another exit that leads out into the alley.
Listen, that's the cops coming down to look for us.
They come in the hallway stairs.
We've got to hide. Here,
Get behind this old sofa. Lie down on the floor.
There's nothing you'll find down here.
I hope you don't mind, lady, but we'd like to look over the premises.
Look, this dust is killing me. I'm going to sneeze.
No.
You won't.
It's just a waste of time looking for anything here.
All right. Let's get out. There's so much dust here.
Dotty. I killed him. Dotty, please get up.
Oh, I'm glad you're not dead.
You tried to kill me.
I had to put my hand over your mouth. You'd have sneezed, we'd been caught.
Let's get out of this dusty hole.
Get these barrels away, we can get out through the alley.
Well, get a little safer out on the street. Please, will you stop looking back?
There's someone following us.
There's nobody following us.
I tell you, there is. I know all the detectives in New York must be looking for us.
Stop acting so suspicious. Turning around all the time. We gotta look like normal people.
Normal? I've never been so scared in all my life.
I told you not to turn around.
It's the same guy.
Who are you talking about?
Take a look at yourself. Guy with the gray hat.
He could be just an ordinary guy. Maybe we just think he's following us.
We gotta get away from him.
No, look. Hold my hand. We'll fool him. Make believe we're in love.
What's the matter with you? I don't get it.
Act like you're crazy about me. Act it for real. Go on.
What am I supposed to do?
Say I'm wonderful. Say I'm the sweetest girl in the world. Go on.
You're crazy.
Do what I tell you.
You're the sweetest girl in the world.
Say it like you mean it. Hurry up.
You're wonderful. I love you.
Put your arm around my shoulder.
I ain't gonna do any good.
Now, walk slow. Act like we don't care where we're going.
You'll catch up to
us. He can always catch up to us. We gotta make him think we're the wrong people he's following it. Keep talking love to me.
You're wonderful. I'm crazy about you.
You're wonderful, too. Lou, darling, I've waited all my life for somebody like you.
I don't know what I'd do without you. You're still following us.
Yes, sweetheart. Look, we got to figure out something.
Maybe we can give him the slip in the subway.
Yeah. Look, I'll go in the subway first. You go in the cigar store. He'll follow you. I'll wait for you on the platform. You come down a few minutes after me. Have a nickel all ready. Then as soon as the train pulls in, wait till the doors are closing. Then drop your nickel in the slot. I'll hold the door open for you. Whoever is following won't be able to make it. You understand me, dear?
Well, what if he arrests me first?
He won't. Look, here's where I go down the subway. You go into the store. Kiss me.
Okay. Darling?
Don't forget to wait until the doors are closing.
Find you.
What's in the center of the platform for everybody to see me.
I thought you'd run out of me.
Maybe I should have.
You had. I'd give myself up.
Yes, you would.
Where are we going?
Next station. We'll get a bus going to New Jersey.
Maybe we ought to ride a little further.
Come on, we're getting off here.
Let's beat it. What are you hanging around?
Wait a minute. We gotta hide this money so they won't have anything on us in case we get caught.
Yeah. That's a good idea. We can come back for it later, huh?
Hide it right underneath the platform.
Yeah, that's a good spot. There's no one in the station. Let's do it fast.
Here's the money. I'll hold you while you bend over.
All right.
Be careful you don't drop it.
Now hold on good. I'm liable to fall.
Hurry up before somebody comes along.
Okay. It's hidden.
Let's go. We'll be back for it in a day or so.
Hey,
Now put your arm around me while we go up into the street.
I can't do it anymore.
If you don't do it, I'm leaving you.
No, don't.
That's better. Sweetheart.
Yeah. I guess you're the best girl for me.
You just wouldn't know what to do without me. Would you, darling? Don't turn around. There's nobody following us.
There's a cop right behind us. He must have radioed a description of us.
Cops don't follow people. They arrest them if they think they're guilty.
Well, maybe he ain't sure. Maybe he's watching us first.
We'll turn the corner. Without hurrying. You do love me, don't you?
I love you more than anybody else in the world.
I love you, too. You're right, we are being followed.
What are we going to do?
There's a factory up ahead. We'll make believe we're going in on the night shift. That ought to throw them off the track.
We'll get caught in the building.
Well, it's worse out here on the street. When the cop sees us go into the factory, he'll think he's made a mistake and he'll leave us alone. Now hang on to me tight and walk slow.
Is this a building?
Yeah. We'll walk in just as if we belong here.
He hasn't followed us in.
No, it worked fine. Now we can stay here for a few minutes and then we'll...
It's the cop.
We're caught.
Let's pick the elevator up. Come on.
Floors, please. 16. There's no one on the 16th. It's empty, ma'am.
She means the 15th.
Yeah. Hurry up, please. We're very late.
In a second. There's an officer coming in.
Thank you for waiting.
Floor, please.
Just take these people wherever they're going.
Yes, sir. Watch the door.
Where are you two going?
15th floor.
Who are you seeing on the 15th floor?
What do you want with us? We didn't do anything.
I just asked you who you're seeing on the 15th floor.
We work up there.
I see.
15, please.
Come on, Lou.
Just a second.
Run, Lou. Run. Around the corner.
He'll shoot at us.
Hurry up.
He'll kill us.
Stop or I'll shoot.
There's the freight elevator. It's open. If we can make it, we can slam the door and run it ourselves.
Wait a minute.
Hurry up, Lou.
I'm going as fast as I can.
Quick. Stop. Through the elevator.
Stop, you get killed.
Those poor devils. Operator, get me precinct 23. Oh, hello, Lieutenant. This is Officer Malone. I want to report a double suicide. Their names are Lewis and Dorothy Dunn. Now, I knew they were going to do it, and I tried to stop them. I saw him in the subway station. The man was trying to jump off the platform, but the woman was holding him back. He changed his mind, and they went upstairs. It looked like a lover's suicide pact to me. And I saw them holding each other around, kissing on the street. I followed them from the subway into this building, and when I asked them a few questions, they got frightened, got off on the 15th floor. Well, I did. I tried to stop them, Lieutenant. They ran down the corridor and then threw themselves down an empty elevator shaft.
Dead?
There's doornails, yeah. Lieutenant, you know, the funny part of it is, they lived in the same house where that old crackpot, Jensen, committed suicide by gas a few hours ago. What? Yeah. Yeah, that sure is an unlucky house. Well, that's one way of getting rid of the Duns, making them throw themselves down the elevator shaft. Not a very pleasant way, I'll admit, but business is business.
We just don't fool around with characters like that.
Well, I can't help feeling sorry for them. Those poor people probably never had a lucky day in their lives.
And it's your fault, Mary. You should have given them one of those good luck charms you've been talking about. You know, the medallion with the black ribbon. Yes. If the medallion didn't bring them good luck, they could always hang themselves with the ribbon.
Now, you stop that kind of talk. Because Lipton's sterling silver medallion on its black rayon satin ribbon is a lovely piece of jewelry. But you may never own it if you don't act now. The Lipton tea people make it easy for you. Listen, just send 25 cents and the box top from a package of Lipton's, the tea with the brisk flavor, to the Lipton tea people, box 92, New York City. The 25 cents includes the full cost of packing and postage.
And now, a word of advice. If the elevator service is bad and you're in a hurry, just throw yourself out of the window. Oh, by the way, this month's Inner Sanctum mystery novel is The Red Right Hand by Joel Rogers. Oh, and I must tell you about next week's story. It takes place on the high sea, but it's about a man who doesn't like singing. Yes, singing seems to strike the wrong note with him, and he goes around opening up throats with a knife to find out just what makes that wrong note. So, if you're one of those guys who sings in the shower, just cut it out before next week's killer does it for you. Now it's time to close the squeaking door until next Tuesday, when Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup present another Inner Sanctum Mystery, directed by Hyman Brown. Good night. Pleasant dreams.
Remember to tune in next Tuesday night for another Inner Sanctum Mystery.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
All right, that's Inner Sanctum Mysteries. And I can just see people back in 1945, you know, in bed, like with the covers up close, listening to this guy in the dark, you know, and he's like going, you know, with this creepy voice.
It is creepy.
Yeah, I mean, even today, we're so used to like horror movies and all this kind of stuff. But back then, I mean, there wasn't that many horror movies. I mean, Psycho came out in the late 50s, and that freaked everybody out. I mean, that was like, oh my gosh, that broke all kinds of, you know, barriers as far as horror movies and things like that. But in 1945, I mean, this was scary stuff. I mean, it's still scary now.
It's scary because your brain makes it that way.
Right.
I mean, it goes to the far corners, and it can be as scary as you want it to be.
Well, that's the whole cool thing about these radio shows. The theater of the mind is so powerful, and these radio shows give you all of the ingredients. They paint the picture. They have the actors, the music, the sound effects. And then your imagination is boundless, so you create these very vivid pictures. And this was a cool episode because you had this guy, what they were all talking about in the show is a scary story. But then he's talking about next week where this guy's going around cutting people's throats
while they're singing in the shower. So don't do that.
No, try not to do that. Be nice to your fellow man, fellow woman. That's Inner Sanctum Mysteries, May 22nd, 1945, Dead to Rights, with Santos Ortega along with Elspeth Eric. And then Barry Kroger was the host on that show. Mary Bennett was the Lipton Tea girl on that show, as heard on Inner Sanctum Mysteries. Let's take a break. Then it's much more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, hour three here of the WGN Radio Theater. This is program 102, right, Lisa?
102.
I have that right?
You've got that right.
Because some of our listeners like it when I get things wrong.
I know. I kind of do, too. I don't know what it is.
I said Psycho came out in the late 50s. And I was incorrect. It came out in 1960.
You were close.
So I think I should be punished for that.
That's right.
I think I should be put Elif in the corner.
Elif and I are already talking about what we can do to punish
put
you.
Put a dunce cap on me, put me in the corner, make me stay there for the rest of the show.
Or something else.
You know, technically, it did come out in the late 1950s because I'm sure they did test screenings in 1959.
Yeah.
And they were making the movie in 1959 if it came out in 1960. But I will say that I was wrong there.
You will concede.
I said late 1950s, and yet it was 1960.
Okay.
Well, in your defense, though, I've heard 30-year-olds say that they're in their late 20s.
Yeah, see? So. Right.
But well, that's just plain wrong.
Well, huh?
Just
well,
it's incorrect.
It is incorrect.
Okay. Let's just be clear.
Let's be clear. Is it incorrect to be 39 for the rest of my life?
Because not if I'm you're Jack Benny.
I am not getting any older than 39.
I will stay with you on that one.
Mm-hmm. I think he had the right idea.
Yep.
Way back then.
Yep.
Good old Jack Benny.
What's
Benjamin Kubelski.
Kubelski.
That's what he was born. Yeah, yeah. Benjamin Kubelski. He was born in Chicago, but
he
grew up in...
He was born in, like, Waukegan,
no,
right?
He was born in Chicago, but grew up in Waukegan.
Waukegan, yeah.
Yeah. And they named the school after him. There in Waukegan.
There's an art school, Jack Benny Art School of Arts or Art School or something.
He always talked about it was interesting how they named the school after him when he got kicked out of school.
Yeah, I know.
But when you're Jack Benny and you're that successful and you're the most beloved comedian in the history of comedians, I guess you get a school named after you, even though you were kicked out of it as a kid.
Well, let's just assume that he did give a lot to the school. It didn't take him the whole time.
He
just didn't need to be there the whole time.
Exactly.
Right.
You've been kicked out of a lot of schools, too.
I was kicked out of overnight camp.
Oh, boy.
That's truth.
Look out.
That's truth.
Man, that probably ruined your whole...
No, I kind of like that. I thought that was an accolade.
I've never been kicked out of anything, out of school or anything like that. No, I was always a good student.
This is overnight camp. This is, you know.
Elif was a good student, I can tell.
She still is.
She probably never caused any trouble,
never,
right?
Never
any trouble. That's good. Lisa, you were a good daughter to Mr. and Mrs. Matanky, weren't you?
Yeah, but I did get kicked out of camp.
It scarred you for life.
No, in a happy way. Yeah. I felt very good about that.
Okay. All right. In this hour, we're going to tune into an episode of The Whistler, so don't miss that. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the upcoming TV show Shots Fired, which examines the dangerous aftermath of racially charged shootings in a small southern town. And if you guess this celebrity, you will win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati.
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress starred as the therapist in The Sessions.
Explain to me so that I really understand exactly what the Iron Lung is for.
All right. 312.
Did I love that
981-7200. I know you said you really thought this was a great movie. I didn't see it.
Helen.
Oh, gosh. Okay, Lisa Wolf. All right, Lisa Wolf. Nice job. Let's take a break. 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner.
Welcome back to show 102 of the WGN Radio Theater. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie clip
again. Playing Celebrity Scoop.
Explain
where
to
Lisa
me
gives
so
the
that
answer.
I really understand exactly what the Iron Lung is for.
Be quiet. Let's talk to Dan from St. Charles. Hey, Dan.
Hey, hi, guys. How you doing?
Good,
we're great.
Dan.
How are you?
All right. Hanging in there.
Good.
All right.
Who's talking here? Is it you or is it me?
He asked both of us how we were doing, so
I know.
That means I
you
could answer,
too.
You can't
talk at the same time on radio.
Dan,
it's,
didn't
it's
you want to ask us both how we were doing?
No.
Yeah.
Poor Dan in the middle of it.
I know, poor Dan. Dan, tell us who the celebrity is.
That's Helen Hunt.
You are right. It is Helen Hunt, and you are a winner, and you've won a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. And we hope that you love pizza and that you love Lou Malnati's, and you can check them out online at loumalnati's.com.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks
guys.
A lot, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. All right. Yeah. You like Helen Hunt in this movie, huh?
Be quiet.
You like the
now
movie?
Now I'm not talking
therapist,
about it anymore.
The
I'm
therapist?
Not talking about it
or
anymore.
Or it's called The Sessions, I should say. I called it The Therapist. I should see this movie.
Well, she was a sex therapist in the movie.
Right.
And
the guy is amazing,
it.
Right?
They're both amazing.
And he's like in a bed and she's
It's worth watching. It's pretty deep.
Yeah.
Okay. I was very moved.
I'll check it out. If you liked it, I'll check it out. Well, you know what? The movie that you were telling me to watch for the long, what is it, Little Children?
Yeah.
Is that the one?
Oh,
so Lisa was telling me for years.
I saw this movie.
For years. To see this movie, Little Children.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And I'm like, who's in it? And she said, it's got...
Jackie Earl Haley.
But the girl from the Titanic.
Kate Winslet.
Yeah. And I'm not a huge Kate Winslet fan. I mean, I'm just not. I don't dislike her. I don't like her.
I have to disagree.
I have
with
no
you,
really. But then I wasn't in any hurry to see this movie because Lisa was like, "You got to see this movie, Little Children."
Oh my gosh!
I watched that movie and I was absolutely blown out of my mind how amazing that movie was, and she was so incredible. I'm now a Kate Winslet fan.
She was incredible,
and the guy
I don't know
is
who that
great
guy
in it too.
I forgot.
He was in Fargo this season.
Yes, that's exactly it. That's him.
That guy's
great.
He's
the what do they call him in the movie? The
I don't remember.
Not the prince.
But it was a great movie.
I can't
movie.
Remember. Go see it, Little Children. Well, it's old already.
You gotta
find it on Netflix or download it on something.
All right. Speaking of old, we have an old-time radio show for you now from 1948. This is from February 18th. It's called Quiet Suicide. And The Whistler was a mystery series. It premiered in 1942. It was sponsored through its entire run by Signal Oil. Signal Oil was very loyal to this show, and it was a very popular program. And I think we talked about it earlier. What set this show apart from Suspense or Escape or some of the other mysteries is that there was a twist ending on every one of these shows. And the listeners knew it was coming and almost never could figure out what the twist was going to be. Terrific writing on there, terrific acting. And this was broadcast out of Los Angeles, so you had people like Jack Webb and Gerald Moore, William Conrad, Parley Bear, Elliot Lewis. These were the supporting characters. There really was never any stars, per se. Like, they didn't have Vincent Price starring on The Whistler. It was always supporting characters. Bill Forman played The Whistler. He was The Whistler the longest. There were some other people, but he was The Whistler for the longest. Nearly 700 episodes of The Whistler exist. We have them. And we had a brief appearance on television in 1954, and there were 8 Columbia Pictures. They made Whistler movies for Columbia starting in 1944 through 1948. But we have a radio show for you now. Gerald Moore is the star. Let's go back to 1948. Here's part one of Quiet Suicide on The Whistler.
The Signal Oil Program, The Whistler. That whistle is your signal for the Signal Oil Program, The Whistler.
I am the Whistler. And I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
Yes, friends, it's time for the Signal Oil Program, The Whistler. Rated tops in popularity for a longer period of time than any other West Coast program in radio history. And Signal gasoline is tops, too. Tops in quality. It takes extra quality, you know, to give you extra mileage. And Signal is the famous Go Farther gasoline. So look for the Signal circle sign in yellow and black that identifies friendly dealer-owned Signal stations from Canada to Mexico. And now the Whistler's strange story, Quiet Suicide. It was in a drab room in a commercial hotel in Chicago that Frank Reynolds finally made up his mind. And in a curious way, it was quite appropriate that the decision should come to him there, partway between Los Angeles and New York, partway between two lives. He'd known from the first, of course, that a showdown was inevitable sooner or later. But as time went on, he began to recognize the desperate form the showdown would take. He came to realize that the only way out was murder. The train tickets were in his pocket. His bags were packed, ready to go when he picked up the phone.
Operator.
This is Mr. Reynolds in room 617. I'd like to call New York. Mrs. Frank Reynolds, Long Island, 89038.
Thank you, sir. One moment, please.
Right.
Long distance. I'm calling Long Island, New York.
Is this Mr. Frank Reynolds?
Yes, that's right.
I have a call for you from Los Angeles, Mr. Reynolds.
Los Angeles? Look, I'm calling New York.
Go ahead, Los
Just
Angeles.
A moment, operator. I took...
Frank.
Millicent, how did you...
Darling, I had to call you. I knew you'd be staying there. And
I'm sorry, Millie. I can't talk now. My train leaves in
Frank,
a few minutes.
Frank, you've got to tell me the truth. I can't stand it any longer.
What's the matter, dear?
You're running off that way, not even saying goodbye.
Oh, darling, I told you I had to rush off about that business deal in New York.
But it's more than that. Isn't it, darling?
What do you mean, Millie?
Tell me, Frank, you've got to be fair with me. If it's another woman,
Another woman?
It's on my mind all the time. I can't eat, I can't sleep.
Listen, Millicent, I told you 100 times. There's no other woman, dear. No one but you. Please believe that.
I wish I could.
Ready with New York, Mr. Reynolds. Shall I put them on?
No, can't you tell I'm still on this call? Get off the line. Millie.
Yes?
Millie, believe me for once, will you? You're imagining things. I love you, baby. There's no one else. I'd just be a good girl till I get back.
You can't blame me. After all, I am your wife.
Yeah, sure. Goodbye, Angel.
Operator?
You can go ahead with New York now.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm sorry about the interruption, sir. I knew you wanted to talk to your wife in New York, but when I found out your wife was still in Los Angeles...
Never mind that. Have you got my New York number?
Yes, sir. I'll connect you. Hello? Hello?
Diane.
Frank.
Diane, listen, honey. I haven't much time. You're expecting me day after tomorrow, off the train at Penn Station?
You mean you aren't coming?
Oh, sure, but listen. I'll be in New York tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm flying the rest of the way. Be in early. It'll give us at least a day together, alone. You can meet me at LaGuardia, Flight 8, American Airlines.
Frank, you do such strange things. What'll I tell Uncle George and the family?
Well, don't tell him anything. That's the idea. Explain to your Uncle George that you're going into town early to shop for a day or two. Oh, we'll skip the whole Long Island tribe and just be together for a day. Sound good?
I think so.
You think so?
It's wonderful, Frank. Yes, you're so clever, darling. I'm a lucky girl to have such a smart husband.
Yes, Frank, the operator has reason to be confused. Because there are two Mrs. Reynolds. One in New York, one in Los Angeles. And you're trembling as you hang up the receiver in Chicago. It becomes even more clear to you now, with the two lives you've been so careful to keep apart, almost meeting accidentally by telephone, how ruinous it would be if Diane and Millicent should ever get together. And the only way out is the desperate way, isn't it? It's too bad, too. Diane is so young, so pretty, so very trusting. At least, she always seemed to believe you. But at the airport, you wonder from the moment she meets you if something's wrong.
Hello. Oh, excited to see me?
Yes, Frank, I'm excited.
Did you drive out?
No, the town car's been...
Well, how about a taxi?
It's right over here.
Oh.
Where to, folks?
Harding Arms apartment. It's on the east side on 52nd.
Harding Arms?
I found it last night after you called.
Oh.
I think you'll like it, Frank.
Anyone know I'm here?
Not a soul. Uncle George thinks I'm shopping. He's meeting me in the morning at Penn Station to be there when your train comes in.
Oh, that's perfect.
And you've really arranged to be on it?
Why not? Just set an early alarm. I'll run out to Newark and get back aboard the train coming from Chicago.
You've planned it all pretty carefully, haven't you, darling?
Of course. I wanted to have you all to myself for a change.
So? You went to all this trouble. Tickets, the telephone calls, everything. Just to be alone with me for a while.
What's wrong with that?
And still you haven't even kissed me yet.
Oh, I'm sorry, no. Diane.
No, please, Frank, not now.
Well, Diane, what's the matter?
I try not to believe it, Frank. I try not to listen to Uncle George. The rest of
it. Oh, what are they saying now?
The same things. That you married me for my money. But that now that Uncle George has made it impossible for you to get a hold of it, you'll leave me.
Well, then what am I doing here, right now?
That's what I don't know, Frank.
Well, they don't waste any time, do they? They get right to you the minute I'm out of town. Diane, are you sure they don't know I'm here?
I told you once, Frank.
All right. Come here.
Oh, Frank.
That better?
It's this way every time. They tell me all those... make me listen to them, and then...
Then what?
Oh, you kiss me like that, and I forget all about them.
Good. Keep it that way now, huh?
Oh, I'll try, Frank. I promise.
Atta girl. It's very important to me, Diane, this day together. I want it all to be perfect.
So it's going to be murder, Frank. The only way out of your marriage to Diane that will leave your other marriage in Los Angeles intact. Divorce is out of the question, naturally. Any notoriety, any publicity on the national press wires, and Millicent might get strange ideas about your business trips to New York. There'd be investigations, bigamy charges, two divorces instead of one. And, of course, the prospect of working for a living when you got out of prison. So it's murder now, a fairly simple kind of murder. The ingredients are all there. Diane, despondent, disillusioned in marriage. A nice, quiet suicide that will rate perhaps 2 inches of copy in the New York papers. No more.
You like the apartment, Frank?
Oh, it's wonderful. 3 rooms, fireplace, no nosy maids or janitors.
Is it everything you wanted?
Everything. Even a back entrance. Ah, you couldn't have done better, darling. We're all set.
Yes, Frank, all set with a murder planned for tonight. With your alibi still solid on that eastbound train due tomorrow morning at Penn Station. You were careful back in Chicago, weren't you? Arranging things so it would be almost impossible to check either the plane or train tickets. So no one will be able to say you left the train there and arrived in New York ahead of it. On the way to dinner with Diane, the plan begins to operate. You stop the cab at a drugstore. Explain that you want to order a prescription sent up to the apartment and go inside.
Yes, sir?
Oh, I'd like this filled.
25 tablets luminobarbitine.
Yeah, it's for my wife.
Mm-hmm. Made out to Mrs. Frank Reynolds.
Isn't that right?
Yes, but I wish she'd come in herself to sign for it. We have to be careful filling prescriptions for sleeping medicine, particularly anything as potent as this.
I understand. Well, look, I'd rather not wait anyway. Why not send it up to her? Harding Arms Apartments. She'll be there to sign it for herself. What's the matter, Diane? Don't you like the restaurant?
Oh, yes, it's perfectly fine.
I don't know where we'd get a better dinner.
That's not just that. I'm sorry that it has to end.
Oh, you mean Uncle George, huh?
What? Yes, Uncle George. He'll be with us tomorrow.
Yeah. like William the Conqueror.
He'll probably know all about this.
How? You set the alarm, didn't you?
Yes, but...
Okay. I'll get up, breeze out to Newark. You can greet me with open arms when I step off the track at Penn Station.
You just don't know Uncle George. Look over there.
Huh? What do you mean?
That man who just came in by the hat check stand.
What about him?
I didn't tell you, Frank, but Uncle George has got his mind set on my divorcing you. He wants to prove to
so
me...
So what?
That man over there is one of Uncle George's detectives.
How long has this been going on?
Since you were here before. Uncle's funny. He even has them follow me sometimes.
You? What for?
I don't know. Does it really matter, Frank?
It matters with me. Did he see us, Diane?
I don't think so. Not yet.
Let's get out of here.
Frank, it's no use. Let me finish my drink.
I said let's get out of here. I'll mix you a drink at home.
Frank?
Yeah?
Anyone see you come in?
Not a soul.
It seems silly, you using the back entrance, me coming in the front.
What took you so long?
This.
Oh. My prescription.
The desk clerk gave it to me. I had to sign for it. Is it right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's right. I'll fix you that drink I promised you.
All right, that's the first portion of The Whistler from February 18th, 1948, with Quiet Suicide, starring Gerald Moore. You probably recognize his voice as Raymond Chandler's Philip Marlowe. He played Marlowe on radio for many, many years. Terrific episode, and we'll get back to it in just a few minutes. I'm dancing right about now.
Baby love, my baby love.
This is what? The Supremes or something? I'm going to guess the Supremes. Wrong?
Ding, ding, ding. I don't know, actually.
I think it's like
sounds
Diana
like
Ross and the Supremes,
like, it
right?
Like it.
Could be wrong.
No, I think that's right.
I think it is. My sister, both my sisters, Carlene and Angela, had a lot of Diana Ross records with the Supremes, and it kind of brings back memories. Yeah, they were good. Saw Diana Ross at the Rosemont Horizon. She was
awesome.
Amazing. Yeah, she was amazing.
She was just here in July at Ravinia as well. I almost went.
Oh,
she puts
so
on
close.
A great concert.
Alas, I didn't
such
go.
Such a classy woman, such an unbelievable singer and performer. I just love her. So that was cool. I was kind of it was really like a memory back to when I was a kid with my sisters and their little records, you know, their little 78s. Oh, no, yeah, 45s. Yeah, that's right. What did I say, 78s?
What's a 78?
Yeah. Well, there is a 78 records, too, but no, they had the 45s.
The 45s, like the one song.
And remember they had that little thing that
in
went
the center.
In the middle?
You put that little plastic thing.
Little plastic
so
thing in there.
So it stayed, you know, because when you had the big records, they didn't have
But them. They also had the players that had the big thing that you just put them right on it, too, but then... That was so you could play it on the bigger...
Exactly, so you can play it on the whole, like, turntable.
Yeah. I know people are probably like, what are they talking about?
I know what you're talking
about.
This
is radio. Please describe what
you're
talking about.
They were 99 cents each for the 45s.
Were they?
Yeah, for the one song, 45. There was one song in the front, one song in the back.
Oh, yeah.
But you'd go for the song in the front, and the one in the back you
you'd
never
like,
listened to.
Right. Yeah. But then sometimes that would become a hit. Right?
Not usually, though.
Not usually. They'd throw, like, a crap, you know, like, one on the
exactly.
second side. Right, you get the good song, right? And then it would be like this.
That's the point.
Right. It's like, that's how life is.
Didn't you just go walk
You buy
through?
Something and you get the good thing on the front.
I remember just looking through all the 45s, just picking songs.
I had a lot of records. I had a lot of LPs
too.
Back
me too.
Then. Do you have LPs, Elif?
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's coming back. I mean, we talked about this one time. And I think Roger's an expert on this, but... He believes that that you get a better sound out of an LP.
I don't know.
I'm not so sure about that, but then
again...
Yeah,
they scratch so easily, too.
Right.
It's very difficult to keep them in good shape.
Yeah. There's a guy in my building that has... He's a scientist. He's a guy in my building. He literally is a scientist. And he has the most incredible record setup like you ever could believe in your life, you know, with all the, you know, hi-fi and everything.
With all the hi-fi.
And he swears that you get a better sound out of an album than you do out of a CD. And I don't know how that can be, but he swears by it.
I'll believe it.
But anyway, we're in the midst of tuning into The Whistler. And let's go back to February 18th, 1948 for Quiet Suicide, starring Gerald Moore on The Whistler.
Oh!
What's the matter?
Tastes awfully strong. Did you forget the soda?
Now you're going soft on me, darling. Down the hatch.
Skull.
Skull.
It's been a funny evening. A funny visit.
There you go again. What's the matter?
Visit. That's an interesting word. Visit.
Look, darling,
My husband's visiting me for a few days. It's nice to see you, dear. Nice to look across the room and find you there.
You're in a strange mood tonight.
No. Not strange, really. Just devoted. And maybe a little disappointed. Love does a lot of funny things, you know. Stops up your eyes and your ears. Keeps you believing in someone no matter what people tell you.
You're just tired, Diane.
Yes. Yes, I guess I am. Tired of secret meetings with my own husband. Tired of lying to Uncle George, trying to defend you when I...
When you what?
There is another woman, isn't there, Frank? In Los Angeles?
Don't be silly.
It's like a movie. Sometimes when I close my eyes and try to sleep, I see you getting off a train, meeting a smart-looking blonde in a red convertible.
You better get those ideas out of your head.
You mind if I stretch out a little?
Not at all.
I really don't think you're so terrible, darling. I just love you.
Sure.
Men think women don't know. They think they don't even suspect a little bit. But they do. They do, Frank. They do.
Yes, Frank, that sleeping medicine works fast. You watch the clock, 7:30, 8, 9, and then finally reach for her wrist and feel her pulse. There's nothing there now. Nothing. It takes a few minutes more to check the room, tidy it up, get rid of the cigarette butts that aren't stained with lipstick, wipe off fingerprints, scrape the druggist label off the bottle of sleeping pills. And then quietly, you let yourself out the door and hurry toward the back service stairs. And then...
Is this the floor?
Yes, sir. Mrs. Reynolds' apartment is 20B, around the corner near the rear stairway.
Are you sure she's here?
Yes, she came in an hour or so ago.
Alone?
Yes, sir, alone. Shall I wait?
Stand by a minute. I'll see if she'll talk to me for a while.
I'll wait.
It's the detective, Frank, coming from the elevator. You're trapped. With a choice of meeting him... or running back down to the lobby. It's then that you feel the key in your hand.
The apartment. Yeah.
Mrs. Reynolds. Mrs. Reynolds, your uncle wants me to talk to you. Mrs. Reynolds, are you all right? Clerk.
I know she's in there, sir.
Bring me the pass here, will you?
There's no time to think, Frank. You hold your breath, press back against the wall behind the door, and then...
She must be in there, sir. There's only one way out of the building at this time of night.
Yeah, open it up.
That's it.
Mrs. Reynolds!
You take the only chance you have, Frank. As they go in, you slide around the door in the darkness and then out into the hall.
Here, what's this? Get the light.
Mrs. Reynolds!
You aren't conscious of time now, Frank. Maybe it's an hour, maybe two, since that awful moment in the apartment. But things are beginning to settle down now. as you sit in the dim railroad station in Newark, waiting for that train of yours to pull in. You settle back against the bench, vaguely aware of the smell of the oiled wood floors, and then the boards creak slightly as someone moves toward you in the darkness.
Got a light, buddy?
What? Oh, yeah. Here you are.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks very much. Mind if I keep these?
Hmm? Oh, no, go ahead.
Dull hour, 3 a.m. Waiting for a train?
Yeah.
It's a funny thing, guy sitting in this drab station waiting for the train from Chicago at this hour.
Listen,
Yes, sir. Odd thing. You know, you could grab a taxi outside and get to New York in an hour. Still, you're waiting here. Why?
Look, you can figure that out for yourself.
Sit down, Mr. Reynolds.
How did you... My name...
It was printed on that match folder you handed me.
What do you want?
I want you to help me decide whether your wife's death was suicide or murder.
She's dead?
Yeah. After talking to her uncle, I decided to drop over here and see if you really were on the train.
Oh, well, listen, I can explain about that.
You can save all that for later. I'm Pearson, Mr. Reynolds, New York Homicide. Why don't we skip the train, start back to New York right now? They're waiting for us back at your apartment.
So now you're faced with it, Frank. Your big alibi, the keystone in your whole plan, is gone. Once or twice on the way back to the apartment, you almost decide to get it over with. To tell Pearson the whole truth and avoid the dread questioning you know is sure to come. But somehow you're not quite ready to give up. And when you finally walk into the apartment to face Diane's Uncle George, you get an idea of a way to bluff it through.
I tell you, this man's a murderer, Pearson.
Just a minute, Mr. Breckenridge. Just a moment. Let me handle
it. I told you. I can explain everything.
All right, you'll have a chance to, but let me start out, huh? Now, it seems you're on your way to New York on the train. You switch to a plane somewhere without telling anyone but your wife. Figure you can intercept the same train a day or so later, give yourself a solid alibi.
There's no use denying it, Frank.
Who's denying it?
What?
You mean you admit it?
Most of it. Just one word I don't like. Alibi. Oh, it's true about the train. I set it up by telephone from Chicago.
You had a good reason, of course.
A very good reason.
What are you talking about?
You, Uncle George. You've never given us a minute's peace. Sticking your nose into our business, trying to poison Diane's mind against me. That's why I did it, Pearson. I wanted that day together. Just Diane and I, my wife, the two of us, by ourselves.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I was forced into it, Lieutenant. Ask him about the private detective. Yeah. We go out for a quiet little dinner. At 7 o'clock last night, one of his bloodhounds follows us into the Shamrock Club.
We know all about that. So, what happened after you got home?
I told her. She either forgets Uncle George or I was through. She broke down. She got hysterical. Well, I walked out. I paced the streets for a while, and then I went over to Newark.
You didn't come back here?
No.
I see. Mr. Kittredge, will you step in here, please?
Kittredge?
Yes. A druggist, Mr. Reynolds. I want you to meet him.
Yes, Lieutenant.
This is Mr. Reynolds, Mr. Kittredge. Do you,
Yes, sir. That's the man who ordered the prescription.
Oh, of course. If you'd thought hard enough, Mr. Kittredge. You remember I told you that prescription was for my wife.
Then why did you order it?
Because she asked me to on the way to dinner.
And she gave you a prescription made out by a doctor in Los Angeles?
Los Angeles? Why, I can't.
Yes. You don't know how a Los Angeles doctor could prescribe pills for your wife when she's never been there. Well, neither do I. Now, something else, Mr. Reynolds. I've been in the homicide division for 8 years now. I guess I've investigated 100 suicides, and a lot of them women. You know something, Mr. Reynolds? I have yet to find one, particularly a woman, who didn't want to have the last word.
I don't know what you mean.
A suicide note. Your uncle's detective comes in here, finds the girl in the bed, a bottle of sleeping pills next to her. Now, does it seem logical she'd set up a thing like that without doing the one thing they all do?
I told you. She was despondent. She wasn't thinking straight when I left her.
Yeah, that's what you say. I say she went to bed with every intention of getting up. All right, come on, Reynolds. You can get in touch with your lawyer on the way to headquarters.
Now, wait a minute. I didn't do anything, Lieutenant. You've got to believe me.
Skip it. I've got no time for that.
Just a minute, Lieutenant.
Huh?
I just can't take this on myself. What I feel personally and what is just are two different things, I guess. Diane was in Los Angeles a month ago.
What? You mean she was?
Well, that's interesting.
I should have told you before, I suppose, but...
Oh, think nothing of it. And I suppose you have the suicide note tucked up your sleeve?
Well, I do have one, as a matter of fact. An old one. You see, Diane did try to kill herself just last month. And that's why I've been having her followed.
Well, Reynolds, I guess I was wrong. Yeah, well, we all make mistakes once in a while. I'm sorry.
So it's over now, Frank. A few more questions and you'll be released. Free of suspicion that you murdered Diane, wife number one. Free to go back to Los Angeles and someone they know nothing about, Millicent, wife number two. And it's ironic that Diane's Uncle George came through with the one statement that could save you. Yes, you were as surprised as Lieutenant Pearson to hear that Diane had actually gone to Los Angeles. And you realize now that she knew the truth about Millicent. That if you'd left her alone, she might have tried suicide a second time, successfully. You're going to be careful now, Frank. No missteps, no false moves, taking the cue from the lieutenant.
Yeah, this is a tough business I'm in, Reynolds. Gotta play hunches, you know.
Yeah.
I came into the room tonight and I took a look around. I see there isn't a note. Say to myself, this lady went to bed figuring she'd be up and going the next day. Intent, you know. Yeah, it's pretty important stuff.
I understand, Lieutenant.
Yeah. I was trained to look for intent above everything else. Well, sometimes you go wrong, though, just like now. Sometimes. Well, now. What do you know about that? Intent, you know. That's what they're going to ask me, Reynolds. What was in the little lady's mind?
The clock? I don't understand it.
I don't blame you. Now, why do you suppose she set that alarm clock? I'll tell you why. She expected it to wake her up. She expected to be alive right now. You know, I guess we'll just have to start the questions all over again. That clock's a little noisy for a nice, quiet suicide.
Let that whistle be your signal for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler, each Wednesday night at this same time, brought to you by the Signal Oil Company, marketers of Signal gasoline and motor oil, and fine quality automotive accessories. Featured in tonight's story were Gerald Moore and Lorette Philbrand. The Whistler was produced by George W. Allen, with story by Robert Eisenbach and Jackson Gillis, and music by Wilbur Hatch. Was transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. Next Wednesday, for a full hour of mystery over most of these stations, tune in half hour earlier. Enjoy The Saint, as well as The Whistler. This is Marvin Miller speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That is The Whistler. You heard Marvin Miller announcing at the end of that show. And probably remember Marvin Miller from the television series The Millionaire. And this series, The Whistler, aired from 1942 all the way to 1955. And almost 700 episodes of The Whistler, and most all of them sponsored by Signal Oil. Bill Foreman was the Whistler for the longest. There was a couple of other people. Here in Chicago, there was a Chicago version. They had their own local version of the Whistler here, and Everett Clark played the Whistler. There was a script that went out to the whole country, and they were done on the East Coast and the West Coast. But Chicago, for a time, did their own version. And I believe it didn't air here. It aired on another big station in Chicago, and Everett Clark was the Whistler. And then there was a lot of Chicago actors, like Harry Elders did a lot of those, and there was a couple of other big name Chicago actors. Jim Amici, Don Amici's brother, was in some of them. But a terrific series, The Whistler. Always had a twist ending, as you just heard, and heard on the CBS radio network. That episode was called Quiet Suicide from February 18, 1948. Let's take a break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right. Well, we had some fun, played quite a few classic radio shows this weekend. And I took all of those shows directly off of our Facebook page from listeners that were saying, oh, play this, play Have Gun Will Travel, play Our Miss Brooks, play The Whistler, play Inner Sanctum. So, folks, if you want to hear a specific radio series, maybe we've never aired the one that you want to hear, just go to our Facebook page. Just log on to Facebook or hop on Facebook or search Facebook, whatever you want to do. Go to WGN Radio Theater. And when you're there, please like us. We're almost, I think we're at like 1,700 plus likes.
Right.
So we'd love to get that up a little higher.
Yes.
Maybe you can help us do that. Tell a friend about this show. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning. Right, Lisa?
Yeah, we're here.
That's our time slot.
We're still here.
Just want to check with you because you're the boss.
We're here Friday.
Want to make sure.
No, we're here Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Right. We're here three.
It's 3 days.
Very odd when you think about it.
We just don't leave. We just like to stay here. We just want to be here.
You know who's a hard worker?
Elif.
She stays here after we're done, and she gets the podcast up. And
right away, by the time
that.
I get home, it's already up. So
yeah,
it's nice
I try.
To know.
I'm sometimes driving home because I'm an hour.
You sometimes drive home?
Well, when I'm driving home, about halfway into the ride, I check, and there it is,
and
the
podcast.
And you just
want to hear more of Carl and Lisa.
I want to hear you. Because I don't listen to you when the show is on.
I think you want to hear you.
No, I don't listen to you when the show is on, so I like to hear you on the podcast.
Or you.
So people might say, well, what is that, a podcast? Well, the show that you just heard, this whole program, is podcast, because we're on late, and who knows, you might fall asleep, you might have dozed off, you missed who the Whistler, what was going on in the Whistler, whatever. So we record the program, and Elif does, would you get rid of most of the commercials?
I get rid of all of the commercials.
All of the commercials.
Yeah.
So you actually get to hear a commercial-free podcast of Lisa and I, our banter, but then you hear the classic radio shows.
Right. You go to WGNradio.com, and you can go to our schedule and hit our show, or you can go right to our podcast and hit WGN Radio Theater.
Right, so
it's easy.
How does that work?
That's it. They know. They understand.
That's not how I do it. I do it differently.
You go to Google. You can find it
I
there,
Google,
too.
And I just write in WGN Radio Theater and then the number.
It takes you the same place.
This is program 102. So tonight, halfway home, I'm gonna
get
Google,
a little more Carl on the way home.
I'm gonna Google WGN Radio Theater. Well, I won't be driving because my chauffeur will be doing it. Right,
right,
Lisa.
I see him waiting in the
Lisa's,
front for you.
Lisa has a fleet of chauffeurs. So she she borrows me. She lends me.
Yeah, they're all lined up on Michigan Avenue. They're waiting to take us home.
Right, and so I just Google WGN Radio Theater 102, and there it is. Magically, it's put up.
That's Elif. She's the magic one.
Elif does it. Jen Bosworth has asked us to stick around and to be on her show to talk about collecting these classic radio shows and how we got together to do a show here on WGN and sort of a little, which was very nice. She asked if we would stay on because she is taking over for Nick for this week because Nick's on vacation, Nick DiGilio, right?
Right. So let's talk about what we have coming up next week.
Okay, go right ahead.
All right. We've got Dragnet. Mm-hmm. We've got The Great Gildersleeve and Escape. We've got The Green Hornet, Suspense, and Phil Harris and Alice Faye Show.
Right.
So we have a fun-filled weekend again.
Yeah, that's next week. We'll be here Saturday at 11, and we'll also be here Sunday at 11 with these shows. Dragnet was Dragnet's one of the best detective shows, really. I mean, it was a police detective. He was working out of the L.A. Police Department. P- people remember that. It's like, I mean, dum-da-dum-dum.
Of course.
So that's a very famous show. And then Gildersleeve is great. My brother doesn't like Gildersleeve, though.
I like the Great Gildersleeve.
I love the Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah, that's where
my
Vince
crabby
and I
brother
parked.
Doesn't like
He's
it.
He's too cranky.
And then Escape, the Green Hornet, Suspense, Phil Harris and Alice Faye show, as you said. And we also have a website. Don't forget that, folks. We have a website for this show. It's WGNRadioTheater.com. And when you go there, you can click through to our main website and download 10 of the greatest classic radio shows of all time. And like we listen to The Whistler, we have, I think, two collections of The Whistler. So there's like 24 episodes that we sell on CD or via digital download. There's Suspense. There's Inner Sanctum. There's Our Miss Brooks. There's Gunsmoke. There's Dragnet. There's all kinds of collections of classic radio in our store. So just click the store and peruse it. And we add new collections every single month at our WGN Radio Theater store. So that's it. We're gonna sign off here in a minute. I want to thank you, Lisa Wolf. I want to thank Mike Estella, our executive producer, Elif Garris, our producer, Roger Badish, Esmeralda Leon, Vince and Chris Lombardi, my crabby brother Vince, and of course, who else?
Vic Vaughn. He's up next.
Vic Vaughn is up next. All right. And we're gonna toss it to news in a second. Lisa and I are gonna stick around. We're gonna go and be on and on.
Yeah, she's up in the seventh floor.
She's
so
up on
we'll
that. We're gonna go up there. Okay, so stick around for that. It is 2 o'clock in the morning. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNRadio.com.